Hello, everyone. Welcome to our premiere episode of the Visitors Bullpen. My name is Matt Wyrick. I'm your host alongside Kevin Haswell. Kevin, glad we're out here getting this started.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's a great opportunity to talk baseball every week. We're going to take it from a different angle, bring up some topics that will interest everyone. And I'm just excited to start this with Matt. So,
yeah, quick intro. Kevin and I go to JMU. We are rising juniors. 20 years old, and write for SB Nation. I write for the Washington Nationals page. Kevin writes for a sorted number of pages, not baseball, but he's all over the place and knows the Phillies pretty well. So we've got some exciting topics for you guys, and we're looking forward to it. Now, go ahead and get things started. What everybody's talking about right now is the Bryce Harper, Hunter Strickland brawl. In case you haven't heard, Strickland hits Harper in the hip, 98-mile-per-hour fastball after seemingly still being ticked off from the 2014 NLDS when Harper hit two long home runs off of him and kind of watched him a little bit. Even though Strickland did go on to win the World Series that postseason, he apparently held that grudge. This was the first time they faced since the home runs. And now MLB just released that Harper's received a 4-game suspension for charging the mound and fighting, while Strickland got a 6-game suspension for throwing the pitch and inciting the brawl in the first place. So, Kevin, what are your initial thoughts from everything there?
See, I'm usually a fan of throwing at people when you're backing up your teammates, but I feel like Strickland took it to a personal level, and that's just not acceptable in baseball nowadays. And I feel like the reason he got the 6-game suspension was because he started it, and there was really nothing there other than, you know, Harper hit the first home run, and he kind of the first home run, he showboated a bunch, but then the second one, he kind of stopped and looked to see if it was fair or foul, and then ran around the bases, and Strickland did stare him down around the base path, so Harper yelled back at him, and, you know, that started the feud between the two. But, I agree with the suspensions that they gave both players, but I just don't agree with how Strickland handled the situation. I don't think you should be able to throw at someone with your personal gain. I understand if you're backing up a teammate, you know, if someone got hit the inning before and then you just throw back to even the playing field, then that's fine. But, you know, this was 3 years ago. I think the situation needed to be ended. And I think Harper did the right thing by charging the mound and kind of taking it in his own hands and ending the situation.
Yeah, I mean, 3 years, man. Come on, get over it. You know what I'm saying? It's just You have so much time to brood that stuff over. The fact that you're still thinking about it. And I think, honestly, the most telling thing about the entire situation was that Buster Posey just stood there and watched. I mean, you could tell he shook off a couple signs before the pitch. He just didn't even move until Harper swung the first time. He let him get all the way out there and pick that fight. So it seems to me that Strickland's a bit of a hothead. And Posey was like, if you want to make that call and you want to throw at him, that's all you, but I'm not going to be backing you up on this one. That's not what I do. And honestly, just the whole thing with pitchers throwing at guys and the whole Machado, Pedroia, Red Sox, Orioles incident, where the fact that the commissioner had to put a conference call on with the two managers and the two GMs just to settle things down. In fact, it really didn't work, was telling. But I mean, these are grown men throwing 95, 98 mile an hour fastballs. I mean, those are weapons. I honestly don't support at all pitchers throwing at hitters to get back at them. That's cause for injury. This is a sport where injuries are prevalent everywhere. You see it all over the place in every single team. I mean, you play 162 games, a bruise here, a bruise there, they add up. So I don't support at all pitchers going after hitters like that. I think that there's other ways to settle things like that, and especially in a situation like this. I was happy to see at least that Major League Baseball suspended Strickland for more games than Harper because he did incite the actual brawl. Even though that's not something they typically do, I mean, you'll look at some of the past situations where hitters have gotten up to 8 games while starting pitchers maybe miss one turn in the rotation, if that, relievers get 3 to 4 games. So both players are appealing. I can see why Strickland would. This is the highest suspension for a reliever throwing at a batter since 2014 when Fernando Abad got 6 games as well. So I can see why he's appealing, but at the same time, I mean, it was a boneheaded move, and he deserves every bit of that suspension.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, but at the same time, I think the suspensions were a little lenient considering Strickland's a pitcher, and he a relief pitcher. even that. So maybe in a six-game stretch, he's only pitching twice. So he's really only getting a two-game suspension when you think about it that way. And Harper's still getting four games. Harper would have played all four games. So really the loser is Bryce Harper in this situation, even though he handled the situation, in my opinion, the right way. But it's also ridiculous that Major League Baseball had to call. Yeah, I liked your point on the Orioles-Red Sox situation because it really was a situation that shouldn't have to be handled by the league. I think at some point it needs to be settled. You can't just throw back and forth at each other. And it was unacceptable the way they threw people's heads. I think the right way to do it is hit them in the meat of the leg. But that just wasn't the situation in the Orioles Red Sox thing. They threw people's heads behind them. It was a nasty situation. And I'm glad to see that Major League Baseball is trying to change things by giving these suspensions. But I think they need to be more harsh in the future.
Yeah, looking forward, it's definitely a day to forget for Harper and a day to forget for another bright star over in the American League, Mike Trout, who was announced he's going to have surgery on a sprained thumb. He has a torn ligament there, expected to miss almost 2 months, 6 to 8 weeks. Trout is the major league leader with 3.5 WAR, according to Baseball Reference. Next player on his team has 1.8. That's Andrelton Simmons. So obviously the Angels, who are struggling just to remain around 500 right now, can't afford to lose Trout. That is huge for him and huge for baseball. First DL stint of his career. Not looking good for Los Angeles moving forward.
Yeah, definitely a big loss. It's comparable to the Cavaliers losing a player like LeBron James or the Patriots losing Tom Brady. It's just a huge blow for a team that had some momentum. They were sitting right around 500, but they were definitely showing signs of improvement before the injury. And, you know, Trout was having one of the best seasons of his career, hitting .337, 16 home runs, 36 RBIs, and 1,203 OPS. I mean, those numbers are just off the charts so far, best of his career. The most surprising number to me was definitely the .226 OPS plus, the best of his career by 47 points, really showing his all-around hitting game this year, which he has shown in the past, but it's just a whole nother level. The MVP race, in my opinion, is just now wide open because they consider games played as part of the voting for the MVP. And I think missing 8 weeks is going to really hurt Trout's chances, even if he comes back and he's as potent as he was when he was playing. I think my favorite the rest of the way, I don't know about you, Matt, but Aaron Judge has been killing it. Everyone's talking about the rookie of the year, but I think he's turning into a serious candidate for MVP. You know, leading Major League Baseball in home runs is quite the feat, especially as a rookie. And it I don't know what's changed for him at the plate. There might be a change in adjustment at the plate, but he's really turned it around. He seems to have almost more power than Giancarlo Stanton, who is just a generational power hitter. And it's just exciting. And I feel like Trout has given up his chances of winning the MVP. But the race is definitely wide open with guys like Miguel Sano and others hitting very well in the American League.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what the Freddie Freeman injury has done to Atlanta, and it's almost the same way. I mean, he is that offense. I was reading a stat the other day that said Trout was the major league leader in WAR since the start of last season, the player with the second least WAR, which was in the negative twos, was Ben Revere, the guy who's stepping in for him. So that is a major hole in the LA offense that already struggling, ranks in the bottom half of the league in runs scored without Trout, no doubt. And you do look at that MVP race. You got guys like Corey Dickerson, Avisail Garcia, Justin Smoke, guys who you really aren't thinking about right now as MVP candidates solely because of how good Trout has been. Right now, if you're looking headline-wise, it's going to be Aaron Judge, obviously, with the 17 home runs, 37 RBIs. No one other than him is really even close to Trout's numbers at the moment. As I said before, I look at the same in the National League. Harper's obviously the front runner there for MVP, but Freddie Freeman was right up there with him, and the Braves losing him, that was bad for baseball. And I mean, same with Trout. I mean, he's, whether you like it or not, he's the face of the sport, even though he's quiet and doesn't command a lot of media attention. Harper kind of looked down on by a lot of fans that aren't of his team, and is a little bit hard to get some people to like. He is exciting, but Trout's got that likability factor at least for him, and he has the best numbers in the game by far. I mean, he's consistently dominant, and this year he elevated his game to a whole nother level. So it's just so disappointing to see him go down like that, a freak thumb injury, actually the same injury that Harper received surgery on a couple years ago after sliding headfirst into a bag. So you look at Harper with no stolen bases this year, maybe that could factor into why he's not stealing bases, that thumb injury, which he covers up with a mitt sometimes. Trout obviously stays aggressive on the base paths, and he's got the speed for it, but disappointing to say the least. Trout's one of the most exciting players to watch, and baseball's not going to be the same without him.
Yeah, I liked your comparison with the Braves. I definitely think once they lost Freddie Freeman, they were a different team. Freeman, not only a power hitter, but hits for a high average and walks a lot, gets on base. Definitely a huge loss for the Angels moving forward, and it'll be interesting to see how much worse they will be in the AL West and how far they will slide without Trout in the lineup. It'll be definitely an interesting American League MVP race the rest of the way. There's a couple guys that are close, but it'll definitely be something to watch down the stretch.
Absolutely. Shifting gears to teams as a whole, next topic up is, who is the best team in baseball right now, Kevin? I mean, you go back and forth, all the power rankings, it's Houston, it's Washington, it's Colorado, some people even have Arizona up there, but who stands out to you the most?
See, a lot of people are going to go ahead and say the Astros, you know, best record in baseball, 36-16, flashy young players, Keuchel and McCullers at the top of that, but I'm going to go with the Colorado Rockies. They've been impressing me in a competitive NL West with the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers and the Giants coming back alive. They have a stacked lineup, guys like Mark Reynolds stepping it up, Charlie Blackmon having the best year of his career by far. Definitely been a great talent over the last couple of years, but he's put it to, just like Mike Trout, just put it to a whole new level. Their bullpen has been the most surprising thing. They spent a lot of money in the offseason on their bullpen, and that's really helped them in close games, especially Greg Holland, leading the major leagues in saves with 19. The only thing that I would look for the Rockies is late in the season will be Greg Holland, because they've been pitching him so much, and that torn UCL he had Tommy John surgery on, that's going to be something to watch. But their bullpen looks like it's going to be consistent the rest of the year, barring any injuries. Another concern is their starting rotation. The numbers are skewed a little bit considering they pitch half their games in Colorado, but getting John Gray back this month will definitely help the team moving forward. And we haven't even mentioned David Dahl because he hasn't played at all this year, but he was a preseason pick from many websites to be the NL Rookie of the Year. So it'll be interesting to see how the Rockies change when they get Dahl back. But the lineup has just been potent. The bullpen has been terrific. And the starters are going to get even better with John Gray. They've been keeping them in games. They've been scoring a lot of runs, so the starters don't have to go as long. And the difference is, a couple of years ago, they had a rotation where they would only go like four innings, and you know the bullpen couldn't pitch the rest of the game. They would get tired throughout the season, but the starters are going six, seven innings every game, and I think that's really helped their bullpen. And like I said before, I'm going to reiterate it again, Holland has just been terrific, and the Rockies are just an exciting team. The NL West has surprised a lot of people with especially the Rockies and Diamondbacks, teams that finished towards the bottom of the division last year, definitely coming alive and showing that it's not just a Dodgers-Giants race. And it's really exciting for baseball that the Rockies are back.
Yeah, I mean, you go into the season, you know Colorado's going to hit. I mean, even with Trevor Story hitting under 200 right now, they've still got multiple MVP candidates in there. I mean, if they don't play at Coors, these guys are slam dunks for MVP, in my opinion. Like guys like Charlie Blackmon, as you said, Arenado. Obviously, their numbers are going to get a little bit of a boost from hitting in Coors, but this is still a lineup to be reckoned with, and they still have actually a better record on the road than they do at home, which surprised me to say the least, considering they're a team that's so used to hitting in Coors and some pitchers will go in there just not used to it and just blow up against their lineup. But this is a pitching staff that does have to throw in cores all the time. The one thing that does concern me about that pitching staff, though, is that their strikeout numbers are all low. Chatwood's got below an 8 K per 9. Sensatella and Freeland are both below 6. Marquez is below 8. It's not like the strikeout numbers you'd want to see from pitchers who pitch in cores. I mean, the more balls you put in play, the more likely they're going to be homers, at least in that park. So moving forward, obviously Gray coming back is going to be big for them, and he was a pretty important piece last season and looked on as one of the aces of the future for that team. I just want to see their starters put in a few more strikeouts, generate a few more swings and misses, because honestly, the fact that they're not can be a little bit concerning if they cool off. I mean, some of their ERAs are ridiculous for guys pitching in Coors. I mean, ERA pluses of 156, 145, 133. I mean, that's unheard of in terms of sustainability over the course of a full season for any Rockies pitcher in the past 10, 15 years. So I don't know if this is a team that can sustain where they've been going. I actually did before the season think they were going to be a wild card team, and I still stand by that. But honestly, I think the best team in baseball right now is the Dodgers. This is a team that's been hit with injuries hard. Alex Wood on the DL right now, scheduled to miss a start. You've got Justin Turner, who's leading the league in hitting. Jock Peterson's on the 7-day DL. Adrian Gonzalez missed a lot of time. But they just keep having guy after guy step up. I mean, Cody Bellinger gets called up and all of a sudden is hitting 271s with 11 home runs, playing first base, then switching to outfield once Gonzalez got back. You've got Logan Forsythe going down with an injury. And, of course, they call up random guy Chris Taylor, who is just tearing the cover off the ball, hitting 312, 154 OPS plus. I mean, this is a lineup that, even though they've had so many injuries, they still rank fourth in the league in runs scored. And actually, the pitching staff is killing it, too. The team is number one in team ERA, number three in starters, number three in bullpen. And if you look at a team, the only team in baseball that's both in the top four in runs scored and the top four, in starters ERA and bullpen ERA, it's going to make sense that they also have the highest run differential, which is at plus 82 entering Tuesday night's game. This is a team that, even though they've been dealt injuries, they're still killing it. Clayton Kershaw is always going to be Clayton Kershaw, Cy Young candidate every single year, as long as he can stay healthy, which he has. But then there's guys like Brandon McCarthy stepping up. Ketsa Maeda and Ryu both have kind of floundered a bit, but overall, you've got some good pitchers on this staff. And Alex Wood, absolutely fantastic before he went down. He's only scheduled to miss that one start. K per 9 of 11.3, 169 ERA, already at 48 innings. I've liked what I've seen from him. I think he keeps that up, and the Dodgers are going to be definitely a team that nobody's going to want to face later in the season. I mean, obviously, you've got the Nationals as the only other clear-cut powerhouse outside of that division. So way it looks right now, that might be our NLCS matchup. And after seeing what they did in the NLDS last year, that would be a series to watch for sure.
Yeah, the Dodgers, I like the pick with the Dodgers. They were a preseason pick by a lot of people. The rotation, terrific, like you said, Kershaw, Wood, McCarthy, Maeda, and then Ryu. You know, Kershaw, not as good as he was last year, but still top five pitcher in baseball, top three, actually. 7 wins, 2.37 ERA, 78 strikeouts, all lead the team. Jansen has been terrific out of the back end. He hasn't had as many opportunities to get saves because they've been winning games by more than the 3 runs needed for the save. But on the offensive end, they've also been terrific. Justin Turner, not hitting for as much power as he usually does, but the 379 average is great. Yeah, the interesting story is Bellinger, because, you know, they brought him up. He was hitting some home runs, and, you know, they were surprised. They knew he had power, but they were like, when the guy comes back from the DL, we're going to send him back down to AAA. But I don't know how you send him back down to AAA with 11 home runs and 29 RBIs. Both lead the team, just showing generational power, like I said earlier. And the ability to play outfield has just helped him as well. And then, you know, Corey Seager, you got 11 home runs, seven home runs as well. Up and down the lineup, they've been terrific this year. There's some guys that can hit better, and if they do, like Chase Utley has been heating up over the last 5 days. They're going to be a dangerous team, and I like that you said that the Rockies would be a wild card team because I feel like the Dodgers have the will to win this division. Another good acquisition I forgot to talk about was Sergio Romo. Seven holds out of the bullpen. He's been a factor in that bullpen, and it's interesting because he played for the rival Giants last year. And so the Dodgers, great pick. I see them winning the division, but the Rockies are just, my opinion, the Rockies are the best team in baseball right now. But I don't see that holding. I see the Dodgers winning the division and the Rockies getting that first wild card spot. But definitely a debate.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, you look at closer to Kenley Jansen's numbers, 1.42 ERA. That FIP, though, the fielded independent pitching, which is a stat that measures a pitcher's effectiveness at preventing home runs, walks, hit by pitches, and causing strikeouts, it's supposed to be stabilized, so it's at an ERA's level, so a 3 would be average. Well, Jansen's FIP is a 0.13, which is absolutely unheard of through his first 19 games of the season. The guy is unstoppable in the ninth inning. Huge bringing him back over the offseason. That was a major factor for them. And it's something that they're going to be reaping the benefits for a long time because he's one of the best in baseball.
And it's really cool because he really does it with one pitch. Kind of like Mariano Rivera, he throws that cutter that's just unhittable, like 97, 98. It's really cool to see, and he's just such a big guy in this organization. It'll be exciting to see what he does when he gets more opportunities to save games.
Yeah, he is definitely not someone you want to see walking out to hit in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Yep.
Now, we've got one submitted topic today that we wanted to get to. Julie Jays on Twitter reached out to us and wanted us to talk about what the best pitching staff in baseball is. Well, Julie, it is clearly the team I've been watching the most, the Washington Nationals, and honestly, it's not even close. While they don't rank, they don't lead the league in ERA, they had that one start by Jeremy Guthrie where he pitched an inning and gave up 10 earned runs, and that skewed everything for the season. But you look at the rest of this staff, and it's clearly the top in baseball. You've got Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg, obvious Cy Young candidates, pitching as well as Kershaw right now. Strasburg lately piling up the strikeouts. Scherzer almost went the distance the other night, went 8 2/3. Cy Young winner last year. The two guys, I mean, I can't think of a tandem at the top of the rotation that's any more fearsome aside from maybe McCullers and Keuchel right now, but that's up for debate. Behind them, you got Gio Gonzalez, the lefty, 2.90 ERA. His ERA plus is 145, which is above Strasburg's right now. The way he's pitching, already 62 innings in the season, this is not just a fast start anymore. This is looking to be like the Gio maybe in 2012 when he finished third in Cy Young. He's not getting as many strikeouts as he used to, only a 7.8 K per 9, and he's still racking up the walks as well, but he's stranding a lot of runners. He's getting the outs when he needs to. His ground ball pitches, his curveball have been on point this season. And then you got Tanner Roark, a guy who also finished top 10 in Cy Young last year. Guy who started off the season not too hot, but over his last two starts, he's combined for 14 innings, only one earned run. The guy looks like he's figuring himself out after having pitched in the World Baseball Classic before the season, maybe since because he wasn't getting a lot of work there. It had kind of led to a rough start for him, but now that he's getting in the groove of things, he looks like the pitcher he was last year, and I mean, that gives the Nats four solid starters at the top. Joe Ross, obviously number five starter, has been demoted, and they've sent him back and up forth between AAA Syracuse. He hasn't gotten off too hot, but you look at what you're going to need in the postseason. Scherzer, Strasburg, Roark, and Gonzalez is a fearsome foursome as any, and you throw Ross in the bullpen, who traditionally has struggled against hitters later in the count. He also has platoon splits are bad. Over 300 lefties hit off of him while he dominates righties. So maybe throwing him in the bullpen in the postseason could do well for him, give him some more favorable matchups, and you got to like the stuff he has. Top to bottom, though, this rotation is clearly the best of baseball.
Yeah, I like the Nationals. I like the pick. The Jeremy Guthrie outing against the Phillies definitely hurts the team ERA, but the team that really has surprised me with the rotation this year is definitely the St. Louis Cardinals. From top to bottom, they've just pitched well this year. Lance Lynn at the top, he took a no decision in his last start, despite allowing one run over two hits over eight innings. He's just been consistent all season. Then you have Mike Leake. You know, people after he signed the $80 million contract were giving him slack because he wasn't pitching well. But he's really come around. He's at the top of the NL leaderboard in ERA, and he's opened the season with 9 consecutive quality starts, the longest stretch of his career. Then we move down the line, and you got Michael Wacha. Terrific again. You know, when he first came up, people were expecting some dominance out of him, and they got that for the first season and in the postseason. But after that, he kind of fell off the table. But he's regained it this year. He's just been very consistent for them, allowing like 2 runs, a lot of quality starts. And then we go down the list. Carlos Martinez, not much to say about him. He's been terrific over the last 3 years. He struck out 14 in his last 16 innings while walking only 3 batters. And then you got the veteran at the back end of the rotation with Adam Wainwright. The experience with Wainwright is there. Definitely coming around with his last start, pitching very well. The Cardinals are very surprising. You know, leading Major League Baseball with a 3.21 ERA out of their starters. They're a scary team. They have some pitchers that in their rotation that have also pitched in the playoffs. So if they can manage to get a wild card spot, or you know, beat out the Cubs in that division, they have the guys to do it in the postseason. But definitely a surprise. We'll see if they can keep it going down the stretch with the innings racking up on these guys. But yeah, the Cardinals have been exciting this year. Their rotation has been terrific, and we appreciate the submission on Twitter. Next week we'd like more questions. We love to answer your guys' questions on Twitter. So just add us at Veterans Bullpen or Visitors Bullpen. Matt.
Yeah, guys, thank you again so much for joining us. Cutting close on time here, so we'll wrap it up real quick. We'll be here every week. For the first couple episodes, we'll be coming out at 9 a.m. on Wednesdays, but look for that to change maybe in the coming weeks. We haven't set a time just yet, but definitely stay tuned. We're looking forward to hearing any and all of your submissions over the next couple weeks and however long we can keep this going for. So, Thank you again, guys, for coming, listening to us. And until next time, sayonara.
Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Kevin R. Haswell and Matt Talks Sports. Also, follow our Twitter page for this podcast at Visitors Bullpen. It was a pleasure talking to you guys this week, and we'll catch you again next week. Thank you.